Welcome to Hebrew Club. And I have to say that again since we're recording now. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 25, and we're starting verse 19. And if you will recall, Abigail had made her plans to try to save her worthless man, Nabal. And if you were with us in the former prophets, Abigail's quite a... You get a different take on her than you might ordinarily think. So, anyway, we're starting with verse 19. And remember, what she had done from last week is she had packed a bunch of food. The way to a man's heart is through their stomach. And so she got the sheep and the figs and the raisin clusters and put them all on the donkeys. Okay? Verse 19 is where we pick it up. Vatomer lin arecha ivru lefanai. And she said to her servants, pass over lefanai, before me. Hinani achare kem ba'a. Look, I am going to come from ba'a. Notice that that's a simple call, participle, feminine singular. I'm going to come achare kem, after you. Alright? Ule ishanah lo higida. But to her husband, Nabal, she did not report it. She did not speak of this. In other words, she went without telling him. All right? Again, Higida is from Nagad, third man, feminine singular, Hiphil. Okay? Now, Vehaya hi rokevet al hachamor. Notice that this is not Vayahi. And we've seen this before in Samuel, in which when you would expect a vayahi, you get a vehaya. And it's probably, again, colloquial, more substandard Hebrew. Kind of, you see a little diversity coming through here. All right, and it might be the manuscript tradition for all I know. So it's if you just add it, and it came to pass is how you translate it, you know, more very woodenly. And notice it's almost temporal. He rokevet while she was riding on hachamor, on the ass. Veyoredet, and as she was going down from yarad, again feminine participle. So now it came to pass as she was riding on the donkey and going down Beseter. In secret, all right, or maybe even, I'm trying to figure this out, as she was going down the mountain secretly, some translations have, as she was going down on the secret, and then they supply path or way of the mountain. So, you know, there's a couple different ways to render that, all right. Vehine, behold, David v'anashav, David and his men, Yordim, were going down likrata, towards her. All right, now notice this, I wouldn't translate this to meet her because they didn't know she was coming. They were just coming towards her. Okay? Va tifgosh otem. And so she met up otam with them, or she met them from pagash, another call, imperfect vav, consecutive. All right? Any questions about those two verses? All right? Verse 21 then. There's a break in the sequence of the narrative here now. I do not think, and you'll see why when we get to verse 23, that David is saying what he says here to Abigail. Okay, I think this is kind of something that he had said previously, which is the motivation for his doing what he did. Remember, he armed himself and his men. All right. So here's how I'm going to translate that Amar. Vedavida marak la sheker shamarti et kol asher la zeba midbar. Okay. Now David had said, ak, surely la sheker. Notice sheker means, what do you guys know it as? A lie, right? And la sheker, I would translate, surely for nothing shamarti, I guarded at all which was la zeb, to this man, namely Nabal. See? Now David had said, surely for nothing I guarded all which was to this one, Bamidbar, in the desert. Alright, now remember he rehearses what we've seen before here. velo nifkad mikol asher lo me'uma. And not was missing from anything which was to his. Okay? Again, the me'uma is the subject. And not anything was missing from all which was to him. Okay? Vayashev li ra'at hachatova. And he has returned. This is from Shuv. Hifil, imperfect, vav, consecutive. He has returned to me ra'ah, evil, tachatova, instead of good. Alright. Good. Questions through 22. Yes?
Can you translate that tachat also as an exchange for?
Yes.
Evil exchange?
Yeah. That's good here in this case. No problem. Yes?
Vayashev, is that normal to do a segol or it can be a patak sometimes as far as form?
Notice that you have that method there which shortens, which tells you that there's a pause, so it's going to lengthen there. And normally the hifil of a hollow verb is going to have it anyway. I don't know. They actually have a Masoretic note that this occurs 25 times. I don't know what they're referring to, if it's referring to the little accent by that comets or not. I'm not sure. We have to check and see what it's referring to. But something about that word, they've noted. It's probably that little mark there. Does that make sense? Okay. Anything else? Okay, verse 22. I think David's... David is still talking here. Ko yas Elohim le'oy ve David veko yasif im asher mikol asher lo ad haboker mashtin bekir. Thus may God do to the enemies of David. Notice he's swearing an oath here. All right, it's a typical oath formula. Thus may God do to the enemies of David, and thus may he add. That's from Yasaf, a hifil from Yasaf. So thus may he do to the enemies of David, and thus may he add. If I leave, this is from Sha'ar, a hifil, to leave. She'erit is the noun you get remnant from. Okay, if I leave from all which is his, from all which is to him, till morning, ad boker. Okay, mashtin bekir. Does anyone... The mashtin is a... Can anyone identify just the form of it?
Hifil participle.
Hifil participle from what root?
Shatan.
Shatan. Does anyone know what shatan means? This means to urinate. So it's literally one who urinates against the wall. This is the famous King James. You know, it's like the first passage I mentioned. When I first read this, I remember as a kid... Pisseth against the wall, you know. That's what the King James is. Pisseth against the wall. I looked it up last night just to make sure. It's like, whoa, I remember as a kid, man, I got to read more of the Bible. Maybe that's what started me on the whole path to where I am today. I just was interested in that. I looked at the occurrences of this, and it always kind of occurs in a derogatory sense like this when someone is swearing to annihilate the last person or, you know, it always occurs in these kinds of contexts, and that's what you have here. Okay, so notice what he says: "May God do this to the enemies of David." Notice he's speaking to. He doesn't say to my enemies; he says the enemies of David. And must be a part of the Hebrew style that sometimes they refer to themselves in third person, which seems very odd to us. I hesitate to say too much about what's going on because it happens so frequently. You see it a lot in prophets too, right? God refers to himself in the third person. I'm not quite sure if it's just a matter of style or if there's some more semantic meaning going on. But anyway, if I leave from any which is his until morning, one who pisseth against the wall. So in other words, he basically said, I'm going to kill every male I can get my hands on, and I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it before the sun comes up. Yes.
What is this that he's saying? May God do to the enemies?
Yeah. We don't know because usually it's in a negative context. Some scholars have suggested that they make some kind of emotion, like slit their throat. You know, may God do thus to so and so. If this isn't the case,
and it's usually do this to me. May God do this to me instead of the enemies.
Right, or something like that. So here, we're not really sure. Yeah. Right. There's kind of a gap in our understanding. Okay, anything else? Okay, verse 23. Vatera, so now notice that I've said that, I think David said this not to Abigail, but he was speaking to his men, or speaking this beforehand, which was, so it's actually giving the motivation for what occurred earlier, them starting out on the march. So verse 23, Abigail meets him. Vatera Abigail, that's David, Vatemaher, Vatered me ahakomer, Vatipol le'ape David al panecha, Vatishta hu aretz. And Abigail saw, from Ra'ah, David et David. So notice that you have two coordinate clauses, two vav consecutives. I would translate this first one temporally. When Abigail saw David, comma, Vatemaher, she hastened, Vatered, and got down. The Temaher again is a PL from Ma'ar. She hastened and she got down from Hachomer, from the donkey. Alright? Or you could say, if you wanted to translate that in like a Hindiades, she got down quickly from off the donkey. Okay? Vatipol from Nafal, and she fell le'ape David. This is the only occurrence of this kind of construction in the Old Testament. You know, apayim is a dual form. Whenever you see this form with suffixes, it's plural. His apayim. Or you see it, you know, drawn out, apayim faces. But here is the only place that I could find that it's in construct. Notice it's in construct with David. And I think that it's probably parallel with Lifne. So I would just translate it before. And she fell le'apai David. She fell before David. Al paneha, on her face. Batish tahu aretz. And she bowed aretz to the ground. This is again that famous hish tafal from Chava. Okay? And she bowed to the ground. Now, I'm going to keep translating because it really gets specific here, notice. Alright? So, it describes her actions in great detail. So, notice we've already had Vatipol le'ape David al-paneh. She fell before David on her face and she bowed to the ground. I mean, notice all those actions. You could have shortened that up by just saying she bowed before David. But it's very detailed. Now, notice 24. Vatipol al-raglav. And she fell upon his feet. Alright? So notice that it seems as if the author really wants to emphasize in great detail her actions at this point. Vatomer bi ani adoni he'avon. And she said, by me, me. By me, me. Or most translations smooth that out in English. By me alone, my Lord. Or on me alone, my Lord. He'avon is the guilt. Okay. Utedaber na amateka. All right. Notice now you have this na attached to the tedaber. What does na normally indicate?
Politeness.
Particle of politeness. Notice that here it's she's making a very polite request, and here she's being very deferential, and it's definitely an inferior talking to a superior. So notice her deference. And notice she refers to herself consistently in the third person. Your handmaid. Alright? May your handmaid speak be'ozneka, in your ear. Ushima. And hear, divrei, the words of amateka, your handmaid. Okay? It's interesting that she goes to an imperative there. Ushima et divrei. That's a little more forceful usually. I wonder why she didn't say, and may David hear, please may David hear. But she doesn't. It's kind of interesting. Okay. Any questions through 24? 25. Al na, notice the na again. Al na yasim adoni et libo el ish habelia al hazeh al naval. I love this. Please may my Lord not put his heart, see, or set his heart, al na yasin. May my Lord not put et libo, his heart, El Ish HaBelial, to the man, to this worthless man. See? Ish HaBelial HaZeh. Remember, we've had him referred to like this before. To this worthless guy. So his own wife calls him Ish HaBelial HaZeh. This worthless guy. Notice she specifies Al Naval, to Naval, and notice El and Al in these texts are often exchanged. Alright? For, here, this is great. Ki Kishmo Kenhu Naval Shemo U Nevala Imo. For as his name, thus is he. Naval is his name, U, and folly is Imo, with him. Alright? Naval is his name, and folly is with him. Vaniyamataka lo ra'iti et na'are Adoni asher shalachta. And as for me, your handmaiden, lo ra'iti, I did not see na'are, the servants of my Lord whom you sent. It's interesting, see, again, she changes from third to second person. She doesn't say, and I, your handmaid, I did not see your servants whom you sent. She says, the servants of my Lord whom you sent. So she gets my Lord in there as often as she can. I don't know why she didn't say whom my Lord sent, but maybe that's just a little too much. Again, you're getting a lot of differences from what you would see in a standard prose text. But remember, this is a quote. Someone's speaking here. And so you get little different forms and ways, patterns. Okay? Any questions through 25? Okay? Good. 26. I want you to see now, too. Usually, when you're ready to reach a conclusion, you have one ve'ata. But notice that she doesn't. She has more than that. She kind of takes a running start at what her actual request is. Okay, here it is. Ve'ata Adoni. Chai Yahweh v'chein afshaka asher menna aka Yahweh mevo bedami. And so, Adoni, my Lord, Chai Yahweh, by the life of Yahweh, or as Yahweh lives, v'chein afshaka, and by your own life, really, by the life of yourself, see? So by the life of Yahweh, as Yahweh lives and as you live, now notice here you have this relative clause, Asher, Mena, Aka, and then Yahweh. Remember, very often in standard Hebrew prose you have a pronoun following the Asher called a resumptive pronoun. Well, sometimes instead of the pronoun you actually have kind of the antecedent or the full noun. And that's how I would understand what's going on here. So it would be, as Yahweh lives and as you live, Yahweh who mena'aka, Yahweh who restrained you. Mana means to restrain, or who held you back, mivo bedamin, from entering into bloodshed. Okay, that mivo is simply from the preposition min plus an infinitive absolute. Okay, so by Yahweh, by the life of Yahweh, and by your own life, Yahweh, and then, so I'm translating or understanding this as kind of a more emphasis. So in English you'd put dash dash, as Yahweh lives and as you live, dash dash, Yahweh who restrained you from entering into bloodshed, damim. Notice that that's a plural of dam, and sometimes it means a huge quantity of blood being shed. So from Yahweh who restrained you from entering into bloodshed, Vehoshea. This is from Yasha, another hiphil participle or infinitive from Yasha. And again, you have to understand the preposition min to govern it. So Yahweh who restrained you from entering into bloodshed, and from you saving yourself, Yadeka, by your own hand. Okay? So, in other words, what she's saying here is that through her, God, David was restrained from bloodshed. So, in other words, she's kind of characterizing herself as an instrument of Yahweh. Right? Because that's what she is referring to, as you'll see. She's referring to the fact that, hey, she ran across him, she's going to restrain him from killing Nabal and all the men, and this is Yahweh's way to do it. All right, so it's kind of an interesting way to make the request. Okay, now she says, "Vata," and so Yihyu kenabal oiveka, and now may your enemies be as Nabal. Okay, veha mevakshim el Adoni ra, and those who seek evil against my Lord. So the whole thing, and now may your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. All right. So notice that she kind of expresses this wish in kind of a cursing fashion on Nabal. Okay. Now here you have another ve'ata. Ve'ata haberaka. And now haberaka hazot. This gift, she's referring to all that stuff in the mule, on the mules that she sent ahead of time. And now this gift, which hevi shifcha teka. This is another word for like ama, handmade. Okay, shifcha, you guys remember this, I think, from Hebrew 1. And now, this gift which your, again, your maiden or your maidservant has brought, hevi, notice that there is, that is a hifil, all right, from Bo, which your servant has brought, and there's a textual that wants to make this a perfect. I think, you know, if we just handle it as a infinitive, we can do it that way. But
they want to make it feminine.
What's that?
They want to make it feminine.
Yeah, they want to make it feminine, see, which would solve the issue of the incongruity of gender here. Okay. So now this present, which your handmaid has brought to Adoni, my Lord, the nitna, this is a nifal from Natan. May it be given to Ne'arim, to the servants, those mithalakim, the servants who are following Berag Le'adoni, at the feet of my master. So here's this gift. She doesn't present it to David. She presents it to his servants, who are probably standing all around. So if David refuses it, well, he's probably going to be in trouble with the men, because remember, the original request was to go to Nabal to get some stuff because it was a festival day. So she's pretty smart, because if he refuses, then he's going to have more tension created with his men. It's kind of interesting. So she's not stupid, and you can kind of see between the lines. Again, she calls him Adoni, Adoni, Adoni. Okay. Now here, verse 28, Sana from Nasa. Okay, here's an imperative with na again. Please forgive le pesha. Please forgive the rebellion of amateka, of your maid servant, of your handmaid. Okay? That's interesting. See how she puts it all on herself. It's just a very interesting strategy that she's using to persuade David. Okay? Ki aso ya'ase Yahweh la Adoni. For Yahweh surely will make La Adonai, my Lord, a bait ne'eman, into a faithful house. Or make for my Lord a bait ne'eman, a faithful house. Notice that ne'eman is a nifal from aman, to be firm or to be established. Ki for milchamot Yahweh, for the wars of Yahweh Adonai, my Lord, milcham, is fighting. Again, a nifal parsifal from lacham. Okay, so again, verse 28. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for certainly, Yahweh will certainly, for my Lord, make a faithful house, or an enduring house. Ne'eman, that's probably better. For the wars of Yahweh, my Lord is fighting. Okay. Vera'ah, and evil, lo timatze, will not be found, beka, in your hand. Evil will not be found in your hand, miyameka, from your days. In other words, during your lifetime or time you were alive. Okay? Questions through there. It's kind of convoluted because of the way she's talking.
Nasa plus the infinitive labid. See, that means to forgive. Is that pretty common?
Yeah, well, again, you have lamed can be used as a direct object marker with certain verbs. And I'd have to see how often Nasa is used with lamed for that.
Because this isn't the normal one for forgive, the normal verb, or is it just
Nasa?
It is the normal one?
Okay. I think so. I mean, it's as common as... It's not the only one, but it's one. Lift up, you know, lift up. Please lift up the transgression of your handmaid.
What about the ra'ah there in that last phrase? Do you think that's talking about... I wonder what that expression means. Evil not be found in your hand. Is that meaning that you won't be found doing evil, or kind of calamity and misfortune won't befall you? Or?
See, I took it the second way. But it could be the first way if she's kind of referring obliquely to if you kill Nabal. So, I mean, you can make a good case for that, I think. So it's almost as if she's saying, the wars of Yahweh, my Lord, is fighting, but this is not one of them.
Right.
This is personal.
I thought that would be another good move by her.
Yeah. See, I mean, what's unsaid by Abigail is almost as strong and important as what she does say, you know. The way she puts things and the way she is kind of building her case is very interesting. I mean, and notice the way she speaks, it kind of goes around in circles and what you might expect, I guess, in someone in that situation. You're not going to be bold. You're going to be kind of maneuvering. And that's how I sense her.
You think he's like, and now, she's like trying not to let David interrupt her so that she can present her case.
No, yeah, it could be.
And now,
I mean, she doesn't get to the main point right away. She kind of is going around it and around it and around it, see, until she finally gets it at verse 28.
Rhetorically, that sounds like it's so very logical and step by step. And so now.
Yeah. It's good. Oh, anything else? Any other questions? No. All right, good. We'll stop here then and take it up at verse 29 next week.
Mark, there's one last thing in the middle of 26. Submit Saul.
Yes.